You're now tuned in to Life Song Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to accurately studying the Word of God in a comprehensive and biblical manner. Listen in as hosts Phil Ramsey and Blake Shankle dig into the Word line by line, verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Grab your Bible and your notebook and get prepared to study the living, breathing, active Word of God. Now, here are your hosts of Life Song Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Song Radio. My name is Blake Shankle, and with me is Phil Ramsey. As always, we want to welcome you to our show. We want to also make sure that you listen to us each week on lifesongradio.com, or you can go to our Facebook page and check us out on Life Song Radio. Also, I want to just ask that you go to our Christian podcast community. Go to that on your favorite podcast app. Download that. Not only are we there, but also 30-something, maybe 40 Christian podcasters from all over the world.
It's some really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
You know, we fill our eyes and ears with so much stuff that the world has to offer, but I would encourage you to go to that and just take in the Word of God. A lot of a variety of different types of people also. We may be, are we the only line by line, verse by verse? There's a lot of Bible on there, but
As far as I can tell,
we got the market.
Yeah, we do. We do. We have it cornered, right? Yeah, as far as I can tell, that we're the only ones that kind of stick true. I don't want to, that sounds bad, but we are the ones that stick true to the Bible as far as each week. Yeah. That's what we're doing, exegeting from the same book.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people who will exegete other scriptures and stuff like that, and that's fine. I'm not saying they're doing something bad. I'm just saying this is what we're doing. This is our ministry. They have other ministries. I mean, there's those who, in fact, there's those who, our friend Jim Osmond, his is on there, and he has his sermons. So he's walking through the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
And then Justin Peters is on there. That is amazing. His is Didache. It's called Didache. Mm-hmm. Teaching, I believe, is that word there. But, man, he does a wonderful job. I love Justin Peters.
He came on the program, I don't know, it's been, a year and a half ago?
No, it was a year. It was when we were, less than a year, because we were all broke down with, remember, everybody was, we're doing this Zoom stuff.
We've had 7,000 or so views on that on our Facebook. So
really?
Thank you, Justin.
That's all they showed up.
He's a great guy. I met him at a G3 conference, and he was over there. And I was kind of, when I saw him, I just, you know, when you see people on the internet all the time, and all of a sudden you turn around and there they are, you get a little starstruck in a way. So I went over there, and he was just, man, just a great guy. Very humble.
Oh, my goodness.
And, just a great person.
He is very humble, very kind and generous, just a Mississippi boy, you know. But he loves people, loves the Word of God. In fact, we had a friend reach out to us this week and was saying how Justin has been so impactful.
Yeah.
You know, watched that interview and so impactful in his walk with Christ and kind of in pulling him out of that seeker sensitive mode, also the way God speaks. You know, how does God operate, and how does he speak with that? God doesn't whisper, you know, this Jim Osmond. It's been wonderful, and to hear those things, to hear those testimonies of our listeners, man, it lifts my heart. It does my heart some good and joy, too, as well. So,
well, before we get into Scripture, Blake, let me tell you about a story.
Okay. Story time with Phil. I love it.
And I guess I'm trying to think I remember this very, very vividly. When I was about 16, 17 years old, I used to fix up old trucks, right?
I didn't know that.
Did you not?
I did not.
Okay. I mean, they were bad, man. I mean, 69, 70, 71, 72 model GMC Chevrolets. I'd, you know, 50-inch, I don't even know what they call now, but hey, wide tires, glass packs, and all that stuff, custom interior. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah. And so, anyway, I pull out on the highway, and then in just a few seconds later, a truck pulls up beside me, and he's doing this, so his window's down, so I roll my window down, and he is cussing me up and down. This guy looked like he was about 10 years older than me, you know, and I was lost at the time, right? So he's going off, you know, pointing his finger, saying a lot of words that aren't very good. Guess what? Don't do that to me. And so I go right back at him. We're going down the road, down Highway 51 in Tennessee here, and he's going at me, and he's older than me, and I'm going at him, and then he says, pull over, pull over. I said, well, pull over. I said, let's get it on, right? And so he pulls over, man. Man, you ain't going to believe what I did. I kept going. Now, what in the world does that have to do with Romans chapter 12? Well, you're going to find out. It has a little something to do with it. But that just kind of stuck out my mind because he lashed out at me. And I didn't know anything I'd done wrong. And then I lashed out at him.
So, yeah. Well, that is a good precursor to our study today. In fact, what Paul says here in verse 17 of our Romans chapter 12. So I love that because we're going to, you know, how does the Christian react to evil within the world?
Yeah.
Right? There's several reactions that we have within the world, but when it happens to us, what are we to do?
Yeah.
Right? You give a scenario of what happens if someone's in the flesh and a pagan, if you will, someone before Christ, what they would do, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, this can be after Christ too.
Absolutely.
Flesh is on both sides of the cross, by the way.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So as a lost person, I will say this. If I did get saved and I went back to that guy to share the gospel, he may not be as receptive to me based on I cussed him pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So as a Christian, have you ever had a little road rage, by the way?
I've absolutely.
So that can happen even as a believer. Yeah. How are we going to react when things don't go right?
Right.
And I would say, I would even go, even staying in context here, I would bring in persecution with this also.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Keeping that same flow of thought of being persecuted, how will we react when
that's right.
this comes at us?
That's right.
And I would say this is with all people also. This is with anybody.
Yeah.
This could be with you. It could be with a lost. It could be with any. How are we going to return? How are we going to react when we think an injustice is done to us?
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that and check it out.
Absolutely. Well, Paul says here, we're in verse 17. Paul says, verse 16, he said this is what we did last time. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And we explained that last week, how that's, you know, with how do we live within humility within the mm-hmm. world, but how within one another, within those within our church and our congregation. Now, Paul, I think, broadens this a little bit here in verse 17. He says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So, what's Paul saying here? Never, I mean, it's pretty simple here, but yet.
Yeah, it is simple and it's straightforward. It's not very deep. It's very clear. But let's just look at it. It says never. So, what does never mean?
Never.
Never
don't
means
ever do it.
Never.
Yeah.
You know, if we go back to verse 1, we are given our lives as a living and holy sacrifice pleasing to God. So when we come to Christ, we give him everything. Guess what we do? We lose our rights.
Mm-hmm.
We lose our rights. So never repay evil for evil to anyone. So never, as a Christian, this is not ever to happen ever. So never do that.
Right.
So never repay. Payback means to pay back, literally to give back, implying that there is a debt and conveying the idea of an obligation and a responsibility that is not optional. To reward them back for what they gave us, that it's that spirit of I'm going to get even no matter what. Let me say that again. It's that spirit of I'm going to get even no matter what.
Right.
So why would we, you know, never repay evil to anyone? Why do we feel that when we think there's an injustice done to us, why do we feel the need to pay back what they did to you?
Yeah, there's numerous things that come into my mind. One is pride. One is thinking that I own the justice of that person, right? I see an injustice here. I want to immediately right that ship right then, right? There's this flesh coming out. And so I want to immediately do that. In fact, Paul goes against that. He says that later here in our verse is that this is left up to the Lord. Let the Lord be able to, let him, he's going to be the one to judge. Let him reap the heaping coals upon his head.
Yeah.
is what he says here in our verses coming, you know, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, right? For the vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we're not to repay. So anyway, I think you asked the question, why do we feel like we do that? I mean, this is the response of the world. This is what our normal flesh wants to do. It wants to lash out. This is our sinful flesh, I believe. This is why he's saying, as Christians, we have this power to do it, because now we're of the Holy Spirit, and we have this power to be able to do that. This is a supernatural. This is what the world doesn't do. This is what Christians are called to do.
Yeah. As a parent, even, you know, as I'm studying this, I can look back at my life at things I've told my kids. Don't let nobody run over you. Don't let nobody do this. And there is some wrong in that, right? As I'm learning to study the scripture, I don't think I've told them rightly, you know, in the past. So there, that doesn't mean roll over. We see Jesus, right? He come back with some big time talk. You evil hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs. There's a time that Paul did it also. There's a time and a place for certain things. But we, and you just said it, man, that's just a great verse. I wish we could get to it today. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we in the flesh, we don't necessarily believe that. When we lash out, they did this to me, okay, he says vengeance is mine, that he's going to take care of this. We ultimately think we have to do it when he says he is.
Yeah. It's just not trusting in the Lord.
Right.
And trusting in him.
And maybe we feel like we need to expose what this person did to us.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what he did to me and getting in the flesh, and you come back? And
it comes down to us. Yeah. It comes down to our pride, because our pride has been we've been humiliated by this other person, right? So we want to get even. We want to right that ship immediately. And that's not the MO of Christ. That's not how Christ walked upon this earth, right? I mean, they slandered him. Ultimately to the crucifixion, they lied about it. I mean, the whole time his ministry was nothing but, as he was righteous in what he was doing, they were lying against him, right? Just constantly lying and throwing these jabs at him. But yet he didn't take pop shots at him a lot of times. There were times, but the most of the time he just roll off your back, for lack of better terms, because he knew what Paul's saying here is vengeance is God. The wrath, it's on God to do these things. And so, you know, go ahead.
Well, we want to make sure they pay for what they just did. They did an injustice. We want to make sure that they pay for what they did. So we pay back. We return evil with evil.
Right.
And so we're not really trusting God in what he says. Not one sin ever will go unpunished. Every sin that's ever committed, even the sins that you do today, there's punishment that's required for that sin.
Correct.
Forgiveness does not mean sin. I mean, sins are erased. Those sins have to be paid for. And it's either at the cross, right? For those who trust Christ, believe, there's a payment for that. Or those who reject Christ, those sins will be paid for in eternal hell. But we have to trust the Lord. He's going to do, he's a good God, he's a holy God, and he's going to take care of sin. And so what we do, we let him do what he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think Paul's, what he's going to here is, he's really not, I don't think he's really, though this applies within the church, right? We're not to repay evil for evil within our brothers in Christ, but it really goes to the world here. This is so fundamental to the witness of the world, right? How the world perceives our quality of life is fundamental to how we witness to them, right? So he's calling on us to think about how we relate to the world. And we need to understand here that he isn't talking about civil relationships, right? Because they would think, oh, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, right? But these are civil relationships that harkens back to in the Old Testament, right? The judicial system, right? Of course we pay, if someone does something evil, you repay them with evil, or not really evil, but justice, really, right? You kill someone, then you should die yourself, right? If it's murder, you should be on death row, you die, right? So the punishment fits the crime. But this is rather a personal relationship. This is one-on-one. These people who are, who who are doing something evil to me, and he's calling us not to retaliate. Right? He's concerned that our personal relationships, our kindness and our goodness and the qualities of compassion and mercy and forbearance and non-retaliation and non-revenge would show through in the way that we relate to the world, so that it grabs the world and it makes the world think for a few fleeting moments, you know, those Christians really are different than the world.
Mm.
That's who we're to be.
Yeah.
Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. You are a city upon a hill, not hidden, nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And our God cannot be more glorified than when someone gives evil to us and we do not repay them back for that evil.
Yeah. Yeah, what would they think about you if... Think about the world. If there's something done to you in the evil category, and evil is a broad term. When we think of evil, we think of just something, horrendous. But when an injustice is done to you and you react in a way that the world doesn't react, how does that person look at you from that point on? Why didn't Blake, that guy just cuss Blake? And Blake turned around and he looked so sincere and he blessed that guy. What's different with Blake? Something's going on with this guy.
Correct.
That's not normal for you to do that. Even back in the, in Acts, you think about this. Of course, to go back, when the church was birthed, the people would look at the church and what were they doing? They were selling everything they had. People looked at them and they said, there's something different about these people.
Right.
Now, they were a little scared, because Ananias and Sapphira, God killed them for lying. Hey, there's something different. But God's serious about this sin thing. And, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, anyway, it causes the world, and we'll get to that, it causes the world to look at us and say, there's something different. He's not doing what we expect him to do. And even, when you get down there and you said it, it's like... we'll cover it maybe next week. Burning coals on the head, which ultimately means they're shameful when you get to the context of what that means.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's what we got to do.
Well, we do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always..." So we're not to repay you evil, right? Never. Mm-hmm. But here's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "But always seek what is good for one another and for all people." So there's glory in suffering unjustly. When a crime of evil has been committed against you, there's glory in that. In fact, it's a huge temptation to our flesh to respond with evil against those who've committed an evil act against us. There's the flesh, right? We want to do that. But it's God glorifying when we don't respond within a vindictive way. In fact, we look to our exemplar, Jesus Christ. To all these examples, we look to Jesus Christ. And I just go to the cross, right? Mm-hmm. The Christ upon the cross. The gospel tells us that in the beginning of the day, two thieves were hurling abuses at Christ while they were upon the cross and they were mocking him. But at the end of the day, we're told, and then in the gospel, that one thief was defending his honor and he was begging him for forgiveness and mercy. Now, we didn't see Christ hurling insults back with him at all, but we see one coming to faith in Christ. You see, the mercy of Jesus, even within the hour of his death, heaped coals, like you said, of fire upon that man's head. And he was convicted and was wrought by grace for salvation through that conviction. And that is our desire in dealing with those who have offended us. That's our desire. Our faith, in fact, is tested when this happens, right? Where is our faith tested? Well, it's tested when life turns against the believer. During persecution, during these times of slander or evil acts against us, right? Whatever they may be, that's where the grace of God is tested the most. Mm-hmm. That's in us is when life turns against us, right? And there's times right now, life is fixing to turn against the Christian and our faith is going to be tested. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is tested within us, right? When life turns against us, how do we respond? Do we respond with vengeance and retaliation, or do we respond with some measure of grace like Christ did and like Christ has commanded us to? We need to always look to the gospel of Christ when this happens, I think, right? I think about this is why. We give these things. You and I were talking about on the phone earlier is it sounds like you're legal, Blake. You're legalistic in these things. You're just telling us these things to do, and do. completely agree. I mean, Paul tells us these things. We don't want to fall into one ditch. We want to be graceful as well. Like you said earlier, is do we do these all the time? Absolutely not. That's why we have the gospel, mm-hmm. right? That's how we have grace of God, is that we can look to that grace, that I fail so miserably at these times, but yet I have the forgiveness of Christ. But yet now, because of what Christ has done with us, and because of the justification, and knowing He's going to sanctify us in life, we work to that better, right? Next time someone repays us for evil, or next time someone sends evil our way, we don't repay them for that, right? We pray for that. But yet I also look to the gospel, and I look at what Christ did for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? A man would dare die for a good man, but yet Christ dies for an evil man. And while we're at enmity with Him, right? We're not seeking Him. We're running against Him. We don't want nothing to do with the King of Kings, but yet He still loves us. He doesn't repay us back for evil at this moment, right? There's grace there. I think that's what He's calling us to do.
Yeah. Some people would say, an eye, because here's the verse that most people go to, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, meaning what you do to me, then I can do to you, right? That's kind of the go-to. Anytime a Christian retaliates in a way and gets back and repays somebody for what they've done, hey, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that is true, but it's not on an individual basis. As we get into Romans 13, which we'll be in there in a couple of weeks, we're going to understand that our officials or our government, this actually applies to them.
Correct.
They have a purpose in the world today, a God-ordained purpose, and this is one of them. So it's not upon us to repay people for crimes or injustices they do to us. It is... it's just their own. We'll break that down when we get to it. So,
well, look here, the second half of verse 17, Paul goes on and he says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. And all men, again, doesn't refer just to believers, but to all the world, the teaching eyes, the watching eyes of the world, rather. Respect, it means to take thought for or to give thought to do. In fact, the ESV translates it like this. It says, I think it translates a little bit better than NASB, because I think we can kind of, in our English words, we can kind of get this a little bit more. It says, give thought to do what is honorable within the sight of all men, right? And this word right or honorable here is such an inclusive word, and it's it's really hard to translate. It's more of a generic term, and synonyms that would be included within this would be good, prosper, honest, honorable, fit, as defined by the word of God within the will of God. That's what we're seeing here, right? Respect what is right, what is honorable, what is fit, what is defined by the word of God within the will of God in the sight of all men. And Phil, you could read this and say, oh, well, I just need to respect what every man thinks. Well, no, that's not what he's saying here. That doesn't mean that we live in the world is going to be that everything that we do is thought as honorable. In fact, if you believe in the biblical definition of marriage, the world will hate you for that. Go with that today upon Twitter, that man and woman, that's a man is to marry a woman, and that's it. That is the biblical.
You can do that one time on Twitter, by the way, and then you'd be canceled.
That's not right in the sight of all men. So that can't be what Paul means, right? If you believe that basic way nature works, a man is a man, a woman is a woman. There is no other, there is nothing else out there. You're either a man or you're a woman. You're nothing in between. You don't change sexes. You can't say I'm this, this, and this. They don't have preferred pronouns. You are a man or a woman. In fact, you'll be hated for that today.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So, but what Paul's saying here is we're to live in a way that is honorable before men. It's the principle laid down in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Right. This my ESV says, but to give thought. What does yours say?
Yeah, I've got respect.
So this word, it's not, when you look at it, it actually means something a little different than just what you see on the surface. It means to think before, to observe in advance, to notice beforehand, to plan before. So what does that mean? That means we pre-think You know, when you do something to me, in my mind, I'm not immediately going to, you know, we should always be in the mode of preparing ourselves for what's going to come at us. And then we can control how we react in that circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times how you react initially is really what's in your heart. But as a Christian, you want to always be preparing yourself. I did that the other day. I was in a conversation, and it was there was three people, and it was going a certain direction. I was pre-thinking, because I knew what this person here thought. So I was already pre-thinking the right answer in a way that I need to answer. If I didn't think, I would lash out in another way.
Right.
But I thought about it.
So we need to be better thinkers than we do speakers, right? We need to capture our thoughts, right? But intrinsically be doing the right thing, right? To unbelievers, right? Paul's saying, do those things which are good, even within the pagan society. So this pagan society sees those things because they innately know what is good too. Why? Because they have the law written upon their hearts. They have general revelation. They're image bearers of God. Now, they suppress the truth and all unrighteousness, but he's saying, look, do good, do right in the sight of them. Mm-hmm. Do good. Don't, and it's got to be within the will of God. Don't go against the will of God. Right, you know, if society says this is right, but yet it is against the will of God, that's not what he's saying. But we do it for the sake of our witness. Again, here's the sake of our witness: we don't repay evil for evil for the sake of our witness, and we do those things that are good for the sake of our witness because we are ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah, this scripture here, I didn't actually write. It's 8:21. I don't know what it was. It might be 2 Corinthians. I don't know. It says, For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So we need to always be thinking that, guess what? People are watching. People are watching us very, very closely. So not only do we do this in the sight, we represent him, but we keep in mind that they're watching also.
Absolutely. Paul says here, just to finish it up for today, if possible, so far as depends upon you, be at peace with all men. And we'll explore this verse a little bit more, but just to kind of tease it, we're to be peace pursuers, right? We're not to be, just kind of going back, just my headings here is that we're not to be revenge seekers, right? We're to be honesty workers. Right, moral workers is what we're to be, and we're to be peace pursuers. And next week we'll talk about this: is how we're to be peacemakers within the world. Right, God calls us to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Right, he sees that. We see that in the Beatitudes. Mm. So we should be we're pursuing peace here, and we'll look at that next week.
This person said, I could live this Christian life with no problem if it weren't for people.
Well, then I ask that the viewers come back next week. We'll discuss that a little bit more about what it looks like to have peace. We're the ones pursuing it, but yet it may not happen on the other side, right? It takes two to tango. We do our part, and the other side, we hope that they come alongside to pursue peace. So
let me leave you with this verse right here. What we're talking about doing today is impossible apart from the Spirit of God living in us. It is impossible. We have no excuse. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So without Christ, without the Holy Spirit in your life, this life is impossible. Amen. Hey, Blake, I enjoyed it.
Yep.
Can't wait to get to it next week. Tell a friend about the show. We'll see you next week for another edition of Life Song Radio.
You've been listening to Life Song Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to continue to study throughout the week, check out the resources available on our website at lifesongradio.com. See you next week for another episode of Life Song Radio.